The fighting in Syria continues, relentless day after day, and every day there are casualties. Doctors are in high demand close to the front lines, but there aren't enough of them. Which brings us to David Knott. He's a vascular surgeon from London, but for a few weeks each year, he travels to some of the most dangerous places in the world to offer medical help. And he's just recently returned from Syria. He doesn't want us to say where he was, only that it was a northern town on the front lines.
I was only there for 5 weeks, and 5 weeks went by like 2 days because it was just so full on. I was working 18 hours a day, sometimes having 4 hours sleep a night. The sort of surgery that you do is very difficult. And for the surgeons that are there, I mean, they've been there for, 2 years now, and they're depressed, they're fed up. And of course, the problem is that there was 5,000 doctors in the town where I was before the war started. And now there's 36 left. And of the 36 left, they're absolutely exhausted. All we did was to operate and sleep, operate and sleep. And you slept at various hours of the day. There was no sleep time, that normal sleep time. You just worked and slept, worked and slept. And for me, I was exhausted. And for them, though, I mean, they need help big time.
Knott says he dealt with the results of airstrikes now and again, but most of the wounds he and the other doctors dealt with every day, he says, were from sniper fire directed at civilians.
I'm sure that the snipers were having a game, and it was a game that some days we would have many neck wounds, some days we would have only groin wounds, some days we would have only chest wounds. And to me, that seemed that, people were being targeted, various parts of the anatomy were being targeted. And I was asking this question when I was there, and in fact, I was told that there are 72 snipers in the city at the moment who are picking people off. And it's a game, and they're getting packets of cigarettes and things for targeting as many people in the anatomical region as they can. Compared to, I've been doing this job for 20 years or so now, so every year I go off somewhere and have been in various conflicts and catastrophe zones, and lots of civilians are wounded in crossfires in very many conflicts, but here it's not crossfire, it's actually direct fire, and the civilians are actually the people that are targeted. And that, to me, was the most shocking part of this.
I imagine as a surgeon in London, you have all the latest equipment to deal with injuries like this. Not that you'd likely see injuries like this, but what are the sorts of conditions you're working in Syria?
Well, we have no investigatory tools, for example, so there's no CT scanners, MRI scanners. There's nothing apart from routine X-rays. However, most of the people that were injured were bleeding to death, basically. And so it's not a big problem to operate on these patients immediately, because you'd sort of know the area which has been targeted. So, for example, if the abdomen was targeted and somebody was hemorrhaging, then you'd have to really, you had no time for a CT scan. Even in the UK or America, you'd still have no time for a CT scan. They have to be rushed into theatre. And so it wasn't really, really necessary to have all the major equipment that you'd have in the major trauma centres, either in the UK or the States. So if somebody came in with a massive gunshot wound, they went straight into the operating theatre and had either the blood vessel or the bleeding stopped immediately. They've been doing this now for a year or so, and they've really organized their trauma system very well.
And foreign doctors like David Knott are not the only ones lending a hand. Knott says there's a group of Syrian expat doctors here in the U.S. who are consulting with their colleagues back home via Skype.
It's telemedicine at its ultimate, to be honest. And in fact, patients can have their operation and can be advised if the surgeon who's doing it isn't all that au fait with what he's doing, can be advised over a Skype call. So things are moving on nicely there, to be honest with you. And there's an awful lot of help given from the Syrian American Medical Society, who are doing a great job, I must say.
David, two questions. One is, why do you keep doing this every year? And I guess the other side of that question is, why don't you bring more of your friends?
Well, that's a good question. Both are good questions. I can't tell you the reason why I do this every year. It's something I started 20 years ago. I went to Sarajevo during the height of the siege in Sarajevo, and it was just a light went on in my head, basically, to try and help people in the most dire situations. And I would do it all the time, but I have teams here that I have to work with and train. And I try and stimulate people to go and do this sort of work. But it is difficult work. It is difficult, and it requires technical expertise, because you know, you can't send in people that actually can't do the operating. You need people to go in that will heal people rather than make them worse. And the potential for making people worse is quite high. And most of the patients that we operated on in Syria, it was life and death. I would say 99% was life and death, so that if you weren't there and you didn't operate on them, that patient would die.
David, I imagine it's something of a tough sell to get doctors to go. They watch the news, they see the damage to these cities, and not only that, we should point out, it isn't just being in a city that's problematic, it's getting in and out. That's dangerous too. I have to imagine the government isn't real pleased with your presence.
Well, you're quite right, in fact. And of course, you know, first of all, the regime side don't want you there. They don't want people there. And then secondly, as you go in, it is very, very dangerous, because you've got lots of factions as well. To be honest with you, the Free Syrian Army are a good group of people. It's unfortunately, I have to say, that the other factions that are there, the fundamentalists, do make your life very worrisome, and you do feel that you do run the gauntlet of being a non-Muslim person, for a non-Syrian going in, because you're there to try and help on a humanitarian side, and you do run the gauntlet of going through many checkpoints with these sort of people.
Now, David, you're British, you've got that whole stiff upper lip thing and all, but I have to imagine this takes a toll on one's psyche, especially, you know, you go to the area for 5 weeks, you come back to London, it's a completely different world.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there is no doubt that, you know, I do feel that, you know, I've come back to work and I'm in the operating theatre today, and it's a totally different planet to where I was a week or so ago. And it does take me, it always takes me 2 or 3 months to really get back to some sort of normality, and it is extremely stressful, no doubt about it. I don't suffer from flashbacks and things like that, really, but I do realise that I'm just not running on all four cylinders at the moment, and it always takes me a couple of months to get over something like this.
Surgeon David Knott, a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. David Knott spoke with us from the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital in London. He was recently in Syria for 5 weeks, helping to treat the wounded.